Look at Ephesians 5 for a moment on this Thanksgiving Sunday as we rejoice in the Lord and have a thankful heart, a spirit of thanksgiving. We received an early lesson in Thanksgiving a couple of weeks back when three young American kids, three UCLA basketball players, were arrested for shoplifting in China, and they potentially face some serious jail time. The president and the State Department intervened, and the young men returned home, thank God. President Trump demanded a public statement thanking him personally for the release. And each player did so. Then the president and the father of one player got into a public shouting match. What do we learn about Thanksgiving from that incident? Well, at least a couple things I learned. Number one, for the players themselves and for each of us, we must be thankful for our many blessings, for our life, our freedom, family, love, opportunities. And we must not threaten these privileges and blessings by foolish choices and by unwise living. It's the first thing I learned. You see, chapter 5, verse 15, Paul writes to the UCLA students and to the president and to you and I, and he says, look carefully then how you walk, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Know him and his will. Do his will. The second thing we learn, I think, and this is for the president and for each of us also, is that genuine thanksgiving cannot be coerced from the outside. It comes from a much deeper place within. A spirit of thanksgiving comes from the Spirit of thanksgiving, from the Holy Spirit, from God himself. You see that in verse 18 and following. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ. True thanksgiving comes from a deeper place, from the Holy Spirit, who is God himself. Now, it's interesting, the Bible identifies two groups of people who lack thanksgiving. And the Bible tells us why they are unthankful, these two groups. We'll come back to Ephesians 5 for just a few minutes at the end, but let's run back to Romans 1 first. In Romans chapter 1, we have what you might call a chilling profile, a graphic description of what we might generally call a Christ-rejecting world, a God-rejecting humanity. This is a chilling profile. We read in verse 16 how much we need the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God's love is eclectic. It's accepting of all. It's universal. He loves eclectically. We, not so much. But he does. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous man or woman shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men and women who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So we have this graphic profile of, in general, the human race rejecting the gospel. But more specifically, this graphic profile is of those who are truth suppressors, amen? The question is, who lacks a thankful heart? Truth suppressors lack a thankful heart. Notice verse 19. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. Basically, it says, none of us as human beings have any excuse before God, because he's revealed himself in the creation, his beauty, his love, his mercy, his creativity, his power. It's all been displayed there for us to see and respond with thanksgiving and worship. But we suppress this truth. So, it says at the end of verse 20, so they are what? They're without excuse. We and all who suppress the truth that there is a God and this is what he's like, we have no excuse before him. For although they knew God, meaning that every human being has the knowledge of this God within, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. So truth suppressors become God rejectors. And there, but for the grace of God, go I and you. They did not give thanks, but they became futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So the God rejectors become lovers of nature and worshipers of nature and secular humanists and worshipers of mankind and worshipers of self. And in the midst of all the idolatry and the naturalism and the atheism, there is the immorality and the idolatry as well. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. He specifies both heterosexual and homosexual moral rebellion, because they, those who suppress the truth and reject God, they exchange the truth about God for a lie, and they worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. If we are a truth suppressor and a God rejecter, we will embrace the idolatry and the immorality and the naturalism and the secular humanism, because that's all that's left. And we will lack thanksgiving. How can you thank a God you reject? Amen? About 1800 years after the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans, the greatest president in the history of our nation, Abraham Lincoln, without knowing it, analyzed Romans 1 a little bit in making a different kind of statement about Thanksgiving. He didn't know he was commenting on Romans 1, but he was. And here's what Abraham Lincoln said. In 1863, in the midst of this Civil War, we, that is Americans, have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten God. We have suppressed the truth. We have rejected this God. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings are produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Truth suppressors, amen? And God rejectors. And my heart is capable of that. Your heart is capable of that. So that's a chilling profile, and you can read the rest. It's chilling. But it's not shocking in Romans 1 because the tiger will be a tiger, right? A human being lost will be a human being lost. We will be what our nature is. But there's another shocking profile. And that is in 2 Timothy 3. Turn there for a moment. And this one is definitely unexpected. Because the chilling profile in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is not the chilling profile of a Christ-rejecting humanity, not at least graphically and outwardly Christ-rejectors and God-rejectors and truth-suppressors like Romans 1. The shocking nature of 2 Timothy chapter 3 is that this lack of thanksgiving is in the hearts of the Christ-professing church in the last days. And that really, really gets our attention. You see chapter 3 of 2 Timothy verse 1. Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. The last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedience to their parents, here it comes on Thanksgiving Sunday, ungrateful, unthankful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness, having the form of religion, but denying its power. So the shocking profile here is not of a secular humanity. It's of a Christ-professing church with all the forms and the programs and the activities, but none of the power, all of the religion, but none of the relationship. Avoid such people, it says. Hard to have a witness when everybody's told, stay away from them. These Christ-professing religious people are very dangerous. Now, that is a chilling profile and shocking, would you agree? The hedonism, lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money. Hedonism, the narcissism, the materialism. This is the professing Christian church in the last days. The important question, of course, is that me? Is that you? The professing church with no spirit of thanksgiving. Because this professing church lacks the spirit of thanksgiving, lacks God Himself. Wow. Now, turn back with me to where we began in Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible does identify one group of people who are thankful, two that are not, and one that is, and also tells us why. And this one group of people who are thankful are men and women who are empowered by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. That's why Paul is so strong in Ephesians 5 about giving us two commands and two choices, basically. I want you to notice that in chapter 5, verse 18, we read once, but I want to read it again just to refresh our memory. Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Two choices. Be filled and controlled by the wine, the booze, or be filled and controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, it's interesting. When the Apostle Paul introduces this issue of drunkenness to these believers in the first century, we need to remember that in Greco-Roman culture, the mystery religions, they would enjoy the Bacchus or the Bacchus festivals. You've heard of that, right? The Bacchellian festivals. And they would honor their god, Dionysius, in these festivals. And they believed that in these festivals, they were united with their god, Dionysius. They were literally possessed by their god, Dionysius. And of course, this was all part of the exhibiting publicly the drunkenness, the obscene behavior, the sexual immorality. It was all part of worshiping this god whom they were possessed by. And of course, Paul describes this as debauchery. You see that verse 18, don't get drunk with wine, which is debauchery. You see that word debauchery? It's actually a Greek word with two parts, asotia. And in Greek, the a is an alpha privative. It negates, so it means no or without. A, and then sotia is from the root salvation. So asotia is no salvation, amen? Without salvation, that's this lifestyle. Unredeemed, with no redeeming value is the idea. It's powerful. And the person involved in this no redeeming value lifestyle becomes incorrigible, becomes unable to even be reasoned with, out of control. I won't even begin to tell you, before I knew God's grace in college, how many times I was debauched and out of control in this horrific way. Many of you have that same story. You know. This is in the prodigal sons, the so-called bad son, remember? who blatantly takes everything and goes and squanders it all with this riotous, unredeemed living. Same word. This reckless, unredeemed, no redeeming value lifestyle. And the only time he finally understands the truth is when he finally, what? Comes to his senses. Because until then, he can't be reasoned with. Paul says that lifestyle will destroy you. And it may very well destroy the people around you as well. We can all identify with that. Did you hear the tragic news this week about the Australian diplomat who fell to his death just a short distance from here? An Australian diplomat plunged five stories to his death from his Manhattan balcony Wednesday when a drunken game of trust went horribly wrong. Horrific. He sat on the balcony railing and leaned back, expecting his friend to grab him in this game, but he slipped as his friend reached for him and fell back to his death. Investigators say foul play is not suspected, sources said, adding that everyone in the group had been drinking and reeked of booze. It's just horrific, tragic. Your heart breaks for this guy and his family. Julie Bishop, Australia's foreign affairs minister, extended her condolences to the family and loved ones of this diplomat. A young Australian diplomat, he said, who has died in tragic circumstances in New York. This young man was a diligent, professional, and highly skilled diplomat. Diligent, professional, highly skilled, and dies in tragic circumstances. And the tragic circumstances are this reckless moment, amen? Reckless moment. There for the, but for the grace of God is us. Who's ever had a reckless moment, anyone? I'll put two hands. But alcohol abuse is not the only way to get drunk. This is important. We're talking about Thanksgiving, amen? Alcohol abuse is not the only way to get drunk and lose control of your life. People can also be drunk on their own wine. And the human race and your family and mine and our churches are full of drunks of every kind. We get drunk on our addiction to our own selfish agendas and totally lose control on our anger. Be aware of very angry, angry, self-righteous Christians. We get drunk on our prejudices, our power trips, our greed, revenge. We get drunk on our sexual proclivities. Look at the news in the last few weeks. Politicians and journalists and actors and humans. We get drunk on money and greed. We get drunk on our self-righteousness, our moralism, our legalism, our Pharisaism. We get drunk on our desire for success and for fame and for influence. We get drunk with our idolatry, our idols. New York City, so many idols, so little time. Our self-worship, which is the greatest idol of all. I am the greatest idol of all in my own life. And people drunk with their own wine never thank God. Ever. But thank God there's another option. There's another command for our own good. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, the end of verse 18. And don't get drunk with wine, that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. I love this. Choose who or what will control you. Will it be your own wine and drunkenness, or will it be the Spirit of God? And notice he gives these beautiful results of, and the fruit of, and the beautiful blessing of being led and controlled and filled and guided by the Spirit of thanksgiving, the Holy Spirit. You notice he says in verse 19, the first fruit of it all, the first evidence of this, that you've rejected your own wine and being drunk with your own wine and you're embracing the Spirit of God, is, verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Do you see that? You see those two elements there? Addressing one another, that's fellowship, loving each other, being together, and worshiping together, and making melody to the Lord with your hearts. It is shared worship of God, amen, and not ourselves. It's fellowship in worship. And I love that. We're doing that today. As we sing the songs and as we embrace each other and wish each other thanksgiving and care about each other and hear the word and respond to it and lift our prayers and then go forth and actually make a difference in our world, this is fellowship in worship, is it not, together? Which I love. We have a wonderful relationship, the elders, deacons, and pastors in this church, the privilege that we have leading this wonderful congregation. We have a wonderful relationship here. Wonderful. Love and caring and unity and commitment to the Lord and to God's people. It's just wonderful. And there was a lot of communicating between the guys over the Thanksgiving weekend, just brother stuff, right? God bless you and praying for you and thinking of you and trusting God with you, stuff like that. That's fellowship in what? In worship. In worship. And our brother Vaughn, one of our deacons, a dear brother, he sent this one email to us all. And I thought, when I read it, I thought to myself, brother, you just made the sermon. He said, hey guys, just wanted to wish you and your families a blessed and safe Thanksgiving. What marvelous things has God done in your life? Thanksgiving is the perfect time to recall his wondrous works in giving God thanks. Lift your voice and praise, he said. Now, that's the way to lead a church, amen? That's the way to lead a church. Thank God. Glory to God. Lift your voice and praise. Thank you, Lord. So fellowship and worship. And then notice, of course, the one we've sort of focused on today because of the day, and that's thanksgiving. Giving thanks, verse 20, always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving. Giving thanks when? Always. Giving thanks for what? For everything. Good? Bad? Ugly? To God the Father. To Abba Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings us to the Father, led by the Spirit of God, who gives us access to the Father. Thanksgiving. A back to 1789 in George Washington. A spirit of thanksgiving comes from the spirit of thanksgiving and from nowhere else. President George Washington. Whereas it is the duty of nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and His favor, I recommend a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be devoted by the people to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent, it's a great word and I never say it right until I think about it, beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be, that we may all unite in sincere and humble thanksgiving for His kind care and protection. Where does that thanksgiving in President Washington come from? It comes from the spirit of thanksgiving. When that spirit is present, a spirit of thanksgiving is present. When that spirit is not there, there's no thanksgiving. Glory to God. What about my heart? And then notice, as we close here, verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the other evidence of the indwelling of the Spirit of God. It's mutual submission, we call it. It's basically not lording it over other people, but actually honoring them, respecting them, putting them first. Wow. Like the Lord said, even the Lord Himself said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And to give my life as a ransom for many. It's Jesus' servanthood. Amen? That is the evidence of the spirit of thanksgiving living within us. To put others first. And you know, it's really interesting. This word, one another, is very, very important word in the Bible. It's two words in English, one another, although I guess you could make it one. In Greek, it's one word, allelon, it's called. It's a pretty word, allelon. And it is a reciprocal pronoun. Now, reciprocal means, you know, reciprocal. Yeah, we give and we take, right? We bless and we're blessed. And that's what this means. Mutually submit to one another. I to you, but you to me. Together, for each other. And you know, this beautiful reciprocal pronoun occurs about 100 times in the New Testament. And I looked at every one of them. Every one of them. Narrowed them down a bit. You want to know on this Thanksgiving Sunday what people do to each other when they get drunk with their own wine instead of being filled and led by the Spirit of God? Do you know what people do to one another in that situation? We betray one another. We hate one another. We wrong one another. We judge one another. We defraud one another. We bite and devour one another. We consume one another. We provoke one another. We envy one another. We lie to one another. We slander one another. We hold grudges against one another. We kill one another. That's what people do to other people when they're drunk with their own wine and they're controlled by their own agendas. There's no thanksgiving there. There's no Spirit of God there. Here's what people do to one another when we are controlled and empowered by the spirit of thanksgiving, the Holy Spirit. We are at peace with one another. We love one another. We show affection to one another. We honor and prefer one another. We are in harmony with one another. We edify and strengthen one another. We have a spirit of unity with one another. We receive one another. We instruct and admonish one another. We show care and concern for one another. We serve one another. We bear the burdens of one another. We put up with one another. We are kind and tender-hearted to one another. We submit to one another. We esteem one another. We forgive one another. We comfort one another. We encourage and build up one another. We spur on one another. We confess sin to one another. We pray for one another. We show hospitality to one another. We have fellowship with one another. So which contributes more to a healthy, happy, loving, peaceful church and world? Being drunk with your own wine, are being filled with the Spirit of God on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me close, and we had a wonderful email from our brother, Dr. Celestin Musakura, who heads up Alarm Ministries in Africa. Alarm is African Leadership and Reconciliation Ministries. This ministry grew in response to Celestin's family being slaughtered in the Rwandan genocide. His family was slaughtered. And in the midst of that horrendous suffering, God raised Celestin up to devote his life with the gospel, to bring reconciliation to those impacted by the genocides, and to raise up leaders who can lead the people like Jesus led them in the midst of the healing, amen, the forgiving, the restoring. And I want to end with his email, his message for us, because we are brothers with him. Some of our people have been there serving with him there, in the Congo and Rwanda and in Sudan. He says, at Alarm, we love Thanksgiving because we get the opportunity to be thankful for you, our faithful partners. As we say in Africa, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Thank you for going far with us. Happy Thanksgiving. In the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all God's thankful people said, amen. Thank you, Lord, for grace. And for the privilege of Thanksgiving, may we, Lord, be thankful people, motivated and led by the Spirit of Thanksgiving, the Holy Spirit. And as you rescued us, Lord, from that truth-suppressing and God-rejecting humanity, as you rescued us, rescue others. And Lord, never allow us at Calvary to be a Christ-professing but ultimately Christ-rejecting church in the last days. And we will praise you, Lord, for keeping us faithful. In your wonderful name, amen.